Anyone know what that is? That's music to my ears. That's another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Whether you're selling shirts or sandals, start selling with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll customize your online store to your brand, discover new customers, and build relationships that will keep them coming back. Shopify covers all the sales channels to successfully grow your business, from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to 24/7 support and free on-demand business courses, Shopify is here to help you succeed every step of the way. It's how every minute, new sellers around the world make their first sale with Shopify. And you can do it too. I love how Shopify makes it simple for anyone to sell their products anywhere. Whether they're ebooks or earrings, Shopify simplifies starting and running your own successful business. When you're ready to take your idea to the world, do it with Shopify, the commerce platform powering millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Now it's your turn to try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. So sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/C-Suite, all lowercase on C-Suite. Go to shopify.com/C-Suite, all lowercase on C-Suite to start selling online today. Shopify.com/C-Suite.
Since March 2009, the Pharmacy Podcast has been developing content monthly, weekly, and daily for the business of pharmacy. With more than 25 different podcast channels, more than 1 million downloads, and 30-plus participating pharmacists, the Pharmacy Podcast Network is the global leader in podcasting for the pharmacy professional. Find all of our podcast channels by going to pharmacypodcast.com/shows.
Hello and welcome to the Occupation Station podcast. I'm Diane Donato. Occupation Station is a proud member of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, the largest podcast content directory dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy. Today we have with us Bill Shields. Bill brings over 35 years of healthcare experience to our conversation. He's been involved in product development, commercialization of new technologies, helped companies with reducing expenses and improving products. He has been a CEO of the Advanced Infusion Solutions, most recently, still a board member there. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Nice to be here, Diane.
So tell us a little bit, just to start us off, on your work at Advanced Infusion Solutions.
So my career path was a little probably different from some of my 1984 classmates. I came out of pharmacy school after already receiving a degree in education. And when I graduated from pharmacy school, I was hired into a retail drug chain local to the New York and New England region called Phase Drugs. Great company, good people. I did a short stint there in a traditional retail role and later on was kind of excited to get an opportunity to participate in an institutional pharmacy division that they hosted at the time. Then over the next 30 years, I spent time in larger public companies, including institutional pharmacy-based companies and ones that also were participating in technology, robotics, specialty infusion. And that led me to companies like Advanced Infusion Solutions, which at the time that I got involved back in 2013, I joined as a board member and later on then stepped across from the board to take over as the CEO. And the business is, you know, very competitive. It's a complex business, highly regulated. And it was a situation where, and I've done this before, companies kind of valued the experience that I'd had in those big public companies. And that experience was kind of relevant to taking a private equity or a venture capital backed company into the next level. So that's what kind of, that's my transition from my large company career into these smaller roles in private equity and venture capital.
You've invested a lot of time into education. I see you also have an MBA.
I do. You know, I think when I was changing roles over time back in my days close to the school in Albany, New York, I was thinking that it would be a good idea to expand my vocabulary of business. I wasn't really looking to go and specifically learn something that would be useful as much as I found it interesting to spend time in a cohort with people who were both like and unlike me, engineers, you know, lawyers, business people, kind of helped me to get a vocabulary and kind of refine my articulation of business. And I think it did make a difference for me in the way that I presented myself and in the way that people perceived my, you know, how articulate I was about business in general. So it was a fun thing. I did it at night. A lot of people do that to kind of advance the ball while they're working. And I really do believe it's a reasonable use of time if you're looking to expand into more generalist activities.
So talk a little more about the transition from pharmacy into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I think for me, my role, both in large companies and then later on, has an entrepreneurial side to it. But I, in the strict definition of entrepreneur, I wouldn't really classify myself exactly that way. You know, I think those people are extremely special in that they can kind of see a problem that needs to be solved, and then they are passionate and about that, devote time and capital. They take risks to, you know, pursue that objective of solving whatever problem it is they see before them. For me, because my career was spent in big companies, most of my business ideas came in response to a specific problem that I encountered in those organizations. It could have been a technical, regulatory, organizational. It still required an entrepreneurial approach in that, you needed to have creativity and take the initiative. But I wasn't taking the same type of risks, I think, as a lot of entrepreneurs take. But that being said, for me, the ability to pair that creativity and the opportunity to take initiative like that, if you compare it with an organization that supports that, it is terrifically rewarding to do that.
Did your education give you the confidence then to step up when problems needed to be solved?
Yeah, I think, you know, pharmacy is a professional career that affords people almost instant credibility. I say that because, you know, when you come out of school from another pursuit, like when I came out as an educator in the 70s, where it was pretty hard to find a job back then, and that was the kind of thing that led me to pharmacy school, I found there was a difference between the way I interacted or was perceived by people looking to hire me. Pharmacy degree creates a lot of, I'll call it, professional credibility. It's not just, you know, that you went to school and that the education was rigorous, but you're also professionally certified. So it's a great launching pad, I think, for people to do lots of different things. And I think in my career, where I stepped across into and branched out into a lot of different things, when people ask me about pharmacy as a career, I always say that it's not only a great role and job in healthcare, but it's also a wonderful platform if you're looking to diversify and step away from traditional because of the credibility that the education affords you.
We'll be back with more, but first, a message from Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences President, Dr. Dewey, on student-centeredness.
What does student-centeredness mean? Isn't every college student-centered? No, every college is not student-centered. There are some colleges that are faculty-centered. There are some colleges that are research-centered. Student-centeredness is not a given, but the student-centeredness is about putting the student first, and that's the lens that you have to have. So if you create a one-stop shop where students can get all their registration and housing and all these things done in one fell swoop, that's student-centered. It may require more manpower, may not be the most efficient thing, but it's student-centered. I can come in and teach at this high, high level and blow the class away, and they won't understand a thing I'm saying. I might feel pretty good about how smart I am, but that's not student-centered. The student-centeredness teaching is getting down to their level, making sure they understand basic concepts before you go forward. Means I have to work harder as a teacher. The student experience is the entire scope of things that happen to them throughout their years in college. It's not just about their classroom work. It's what happens inside the classroom, what happens outside the classroom. It's about the connections they make, about the networks they build. It is about their ease of registering for classes or their experience with clubs or athletics or how much they like the dining hall. Also about what happens in the lecture hall. So it's the whole spectrum of things. And it's our goal is to make sure they have the best student experience possible that will set them up for successful careers as they go forward.
And we're back with Bill Shields, a 1984 graduate and eventually the CEO of Advanced Infusion Solutions. Bill, we were touching a little bit on the strengths that you drew on as you advanced through your career. So tell us a little bit more about what those strengths were. What were some of the things that you thought this is important. This is something I would tell a student to develop.
Well, for me, you know, the way that I perceived my career path was I spent time building depth as a subject matter expert. But what really excited me as I kind of got going with my career was the ability to tackle all these different things. And if you said to me back in 1984, you know what, you're going to have opportunities to do product development with technology and robotics or specialty infusion, or that you're going to be involved in regulatory affairs in Washington, D.C., I don't think it would have ever occurred to me. But those are the things that I kind of gravitated to. And I felt pretty blessed along the way to be around people who supported my efforts to kind of cross the Rubicon into those types of activities. So for me, further I got along with my career, I would say I became less of a subject matter expert and a stronger generalist. So I had experience with all the functional aspects of business, whether it was human resources or information technology, finance. I was involved in operations, productions, logistics, quality control, and then a lot of strategic things too. And I liked the breadth of that. And I think later on, when I transitioned out of larger companies to ones that were supported by private equity and venture capital, where growth was important and the staging of businesses was important, I think that was appealing. That background was appealing to people because, you know, along the way you make a lot of mistakes, you learn from them, but it creates a lot of relevant experience when you're trying to, you know, maybe give someone the reins at a company.
That somewhat contradicts, I think, what people expect that they're supposed to do. I think a lot of people think they are supposed to know exactly what their trajectory is going to be.
Yeah, I think I've learned from my kids. I have two. One is 43, the other 33. That the way that I grew up, my generation was really more like what the coach you just stated, which was, you know, you were going to find something, you're going to get educated, you were going to learn your job and do it well, and then you were going to spend a lifetime doing it. And, you know, when I watched the trajectory of my kids, you know, I think they've proven over and over again that there's time in your life to do lots of different things. And while that other original path of kind of settling in and really loving your work is great, it doesn't have to be the way that it goes. And if you're going to pick an educational path that affords you the opportunity to do either, I think pharmacy is one of the degrees that allows that to occur.
So establish a good foundation and then be prepared to take some leaps.
Yeah. Yeah. And I frequently get calls. I got a call from an ACP graduate not that long ago who was a legacy, and his dad and I had worked together way back in the day. And he was contemplating this leap, and he had known me for a long time. And he was seeking advice about how taking your risk would affect him, what happens if it doesn't work out. And it was a really good conversation. And ultimately now he's pursuing, you know, a different path. I think obviously the earlier you do that, I think the easier it is to do. So I think it's harder if somebody just decides at age 50, where you've been on one track for a long time. It's a little more difficult to do than if, in the, say, your late 20s or early 30s, you're willing to take an experiment to do something different and take a chance then. I'd encourage people to do it early because it helps develop them. And look, if things fail, and they inevitably, I mean, nobody wins all the time. There's a win column, there's a loss column. Failure is just, you know, a learning experience. So you can use it directionally to point you in the right direction for yourself. And that experience I found is really valuable, trying to, you know, not make the same mistakes over. So my advice is, if that suits you, I think that you shouldn't be intimidated to take those types of chances because, you know, life is short and you have a lot of time to do the things that you want to do, and experimentation is healthy, I think.
Do you have any special reflections or memories of your time in Albany?
Well, Albany is still partially home. I have kids and grandkids and family and friends here. So my wife, Diane, and I spend the summer here. But, you know, the school was, for me, a second career. So I was a little bit older. And actually, back in 84, I want to say maybe there was 20 or 30 of us where we were returning to school to pursue pharmacy as a second career. And I kind of remember those times as a lot of hard work. You know, the schooling is rigorous. But I did make friends where the relationships have survived all this time, 30, 40 years later.
Anything else you would add?
No, I don't think so. I mean, my message, I think, to people that are in, being educated now in pharmacy is that you have a lot of choices, and you shouldn't be afraid to try different things, no matter how it goes. Life's too short to miss an opportunity to kind of stretch out and branch yourself out if that's what you like to do.
Bill Shields, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Diane. Hope you have a good day.
For more information or to schedule a tour, visit acphs.edu. You can tune into all of our informative stories at acphs.edu/podcast. Each podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeart, and Spotify, giving you the opportunity to listen from a mobile device. Mark Occupation Station as a favorite, and you'll receive push notifications as soon as we publish something new. Occupation Station is also a proud member of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, the largest podcast content directory dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.